It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a great Thursday. Hope you're happy, healthy, and safe. Getting through these days, Waddle and I are here for you, just to get you a little bit of normal. And I think our entire network has done a great job of that, including First Take, and everything Stephen A. does is fantastic. Got a chance to see him over the All-Star break as they were broadcasting from Navy Pier. And if you remember, there was that sort of uncomfortable moment when Zach LaVine was on the podium talking to Max and Stephen A., and then the chant started about Gar and Pax, and this has been a fan base that has been itching for change, and they got it. Karnisovas, now the new vice president of basketball operations. Woj reporting that first. Let's talk to Stephen A. and get his thoughts on this. Stephen A., first of all, how are you feeling? How's the family doing?
I'm feeling fine. The family's feeling fine. There's no coronavirus cases in my household or anything like that, and we've been blessed in that regard, but in the same breath, obviously, all of us are struggling right now, and, you know, all of us are in this fight together. Just because, you know, you may not have been infected or contracted anything now, that obviously doesn't speak to what may happen or whatever, especially with me living in New York City. It's been an epicenter. It's been crazy right now in New York City. It looks like a desert town, for crying out loud, and we understand why, and then we're all just trying to get through it, man. We're all just trying to get through it.
Stephen A., what do you make of what the Bulls are doing with regard to their new president of basketball operations?
Well, it would be fair. It would be unfair for me to criticize this selection. I don't know much about this guy, to be quite honest with you. Woj reported it, as he always does, and, you know, doing an outstanding job that he does. But I don't know anything about this guy whatsoever. I imagine that he's going to do a better job than Gar Foreman and Paxton did, because they did not do a bang-up job. That's just being frank about it. My only reservations, or the only thing that annoyed me about it, is that you had all of those candidates in there and not one single African-American candidate did you consider for the job. You even had Brian Colangelo on your list. I like Brian Colangelo. I respect him. I know I'm familiar with the job he did in Phoenix and Toronto, but we also know what happened with him in Philadelphia. And for him to be on a list, but you don't have one single African-American on the list, it really bothers me, and it really heightens the awareness of an issue that I think isn't broached enough. And that is, you have a lot of situations. I'm certainly not accusing the Chicago Bulls of this directly, but you have a lot of situations in the NBA where a lot of these analytic guys are being hired. Obviously, they're about numbers. And if you're an owner, that's speaking your language, because you are certainly about numbers, because you are about your bottom line. As a result, these guys are able to ingratiate themselves with ownership. They get these jobs. They hire each other. And they're almost never black people. And so, for me, I understand how others may not have that sensitivity towards it. But as a black man, I'm still covering a league that's 75% to 80% black. I find it appalling that not one African-American candidate was interviewed, and even more appalling that players in today's day and age, with the riches and the fame that they've been able to accumulate on the backs of those who pioneered and fought battles for them, never have a word to say about an issue like this in professional sports. It really disturbs me.
Stephen A., we always talk about optics. We talk about image. You know the Bulls' image isn't a good one. We always say that perception is reality. They can't land big-time free agents. They haven't built a winning championship team since Michael left town, and they all played for different franchises. Do you believe what you just said will continue to hurt their image?
Well, I think that it can play a role, but I'm certainly not going to say that's the prevalent role. Here's what I will tell you. After Michael Jordan, you obviously had a drought for a few years, but then Derrick Rose came, and Tom Thibodeau was your coach. And you were a very respectable team. You were going to the playoffs. You went to one conference championship, if I remember correctly. Derrick Rose was the league MVP, and Michael Jordan came back and spoke and talked about how you guys were in great hands. moving towards the future. But then somehow, some way, Paxson and Gar Forman could not get along with Tom Thibodeau. So much so, as you guys know, because you cover sports in Chicago better than anybody, you guys are fully aware of how Paxson and Gar Forman were once standing at midcourt, hovering over Thibodeau, coaching the team during practice because they wanted to monitor how he was using Derrick Rose and to make sure that he didn't do anything excessive. I'm not saying that you don't, that Thibodeau didn't deserve to have a boss and didn't deserve to be talked to or anything like that. What I'm saying is when you're that hands-on and when you're that invasive and then you turn around and you hire a college coach to replace somebody so universally respected, I think that did more damage to the Paxson Forman era and the Chicago Bulls in recent memory more than anybody, because you had too many people in the NBA that had lost profound respect for the Chicago Bulls as an organization because of how they handled Thibodeau. You got to remember, that was piggybacking off of years that you guys are obviously incredibly familiar with, where Jerry Krause, God rest his soul, as outstanding of a GM as he was, he wanted Michael Jordan, to abide by his rules and what have you, and sort of alienated Michael Jordan in his own way, wanted to push Phil Jackson out the door. These are the kind of things that could apply to, or could really add up to being considered residue left behind by the Chicago Bulls franchise. And even though today's modern-day player may not be thinking about those things, their agents might be thinking about it. Other coaches from other teams might be thinking about it. Other executives may be thinking about it. And when you combine all of that with cold winters in Chicago, for guys that got options, they're just not going to choose that. Not to mention the fact that, again, how much success can you really, really hope to achieve after what Michael Jordan accomplished? The only superstar that strongly entertained the possibility of going to Chicago, who was brave enough to do it, was Kobe Bryant. Carmelo Anthony was going to consider it, but that was after his prime, and he wanted the money, but they couldn't offer him as much as the Knicks. And LeBron James was willing to give it a listen, but it was never really a serious candidate to go to Chicago.
Stephen A., what about the coaching job now? The obvious consensus is that Jim Boylan won't be the coach of this team going forward, at least when the 2020-21 season begins. Does this job become a more desirable job because there's been a change in the front office?
I think that depends on your GM and how he, what kind of relationships he has and how he's ingratiated himself with people around the league. But more importantly, it also is going to be about guys like Levine and Markkanen and those guys speaking up on behalf of the franchise. I mean, you could get a player or two and be very, very respectable because those two brothers can play. I'm here to tell you right now. But the reality is that what's attractive about it? I mean, Boylan knows the game of basketball. He's not a terrible coach in terms of his understanding of X's and O's. But what people got to recognize, in terms of my experience covering the NBA, and I've tried to tell people this on many, many occasions, you're not inventing the wheel when you're going up against your contemporary. They all know what each other likes to do. They all know what each other's going to do. The question is, A, can you get the players that can compete against the players that they have available to them? And B, do you have the ability to be a leader of men, to galvanize the troops, to go out there and maximize their potential with the level of tenacity and dedication and focus necessary to succeed on the NBA level? The Chicago Bulls, don't usually do that, and that is your problem. You need a big-name coach that warrants and garners respect and the kind of reputation that makes players want to come and play for you. Period.
Stephen A. joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Are you cautious at all that John Paxson is staying in the organization and we still haven't heard if Gar Forman is leaving or reassigned?
I imagine that Paxson is going to stay there in some capacity. He's been there for a long time. You don't last that long with the Reinsdorfs unless you cultivated a good relationship with them that enables them to want to keep you around. Forman, it remains to be seen. I don't know what's going to happen. Listen, I don't want to come across as lacking respect for these guys. They had some good years. But in the end, it is about what Janet Jackson said. It is about what have you done with me lately. And they haven't done a damn thing for the Chicago Bulls lately. That's just a fact. And as a result of that, change needs to be made. How much of a change is it if you're keeping the same people around? You can talk all you want to about having a new person running the show. But if those people are answerable, directly or indirectly, to the folks who have already failed you, how much of a change is that really? That's the question you have to ask yourself in Chicago right now.
In larger, on the bigger picture front, Stephen A., what is your perspective on what could possibly be ahead for this current NBA season?
Well, I've spoken to about three owners over the last 36 hours, along with about five executives. They understand that it's entirely plausible that the season could be coming to an end, or the season could be over, rather. But they are holding out hope. And the hope is it's not a vaccine, because the belief is that it's going to take at least a year to get a vaccine in place. The hope is that testing will improve dramatically, meaning expediting the whole process of testing. You can't get tested and have to wait a few days to a week or two to find out the results. They've got to come up with something where you can get a test and still find out the same day whether or not you've tested positive or not for the coronavirus. That's what they're aware of. That's what everybody is getting on top of. And they believe that if they're able to pull that off, thereby ensuring that individuals will be tested before engaging in competition against one another, that they could potentially have a season resume in June. The question then would be, is there going to be a 5 to 10 or 15 game regular season, or are you going to go straight into the playoffs? That will depend on when it starts. If it starts in mid-June, I would tell you there's going to be a regular season, at least 10 games. If it's not going to start until July, then I will tell you they're just going to take the top 16 teams at the time the season was suspended and put them in the playoffs and go from there. That's what their hope is. Everybody wants to play, even if it's not in front of the fans. But what they can't do is put themselves in a position where they're jeopardizing themselves health-wise, or others for that matter. That's where they're at right now. They know that perfection is the enemy of the good. If you have a good resolution and you think for the most part you can conquer this thing, or you could at least quell its momentum, okay, that's fine. But you can't find yourself in a situation where none of that exists and you resume a season. That's where Adam Silver and the owners' heads are at. Who knows what will happen as a result of it.
Stephen A., are you a fan that if they do play and then next season begins in December and they run through the summer, that that's the new way the NBA should run the season? Or do you like it the old way where games start in October?
I'm a big proponent of the move from this. I think the season should start on Christmas Day. I love the idea that Steve Koonin for the Atlanta Hawks came up with months ago. I completely support it, and here is why. Back in the day, the NFL was not what it is now. And America's pastime was in a far better situation than it is now. The combination of those two things, to me, along with the fact that take away the first week of the NBA season in October, and there's a whole bunch of folks out there that don't give a damn about the NBA until Christmas Day and the last week of the year, leading into the new year, and then after that, it doesn't matter until the Super Bowl is over. So my mentality is that why not start the season on Christmas Day, okay? You'll own that week leading into New Year's Eve and the new year. You come out of that, you give the NFL its month in January for the playoffs and the first week in February for the Super Bowl, and then after that, the sports world belongs to you from February to August, to the first week in August. Why not do that? Baseball is going to matter to some degree as well. We know that, okay? But it really, really heats up in August and September leading into October. So if you're basketball, you have an opportunity, instead of mattering just for a week in October and a week in December, and then after that, most of your season is gone because you're halfway through in February, more than halfway through, why not just start at Christmas Day and you're only through a third of the season once the Super Bowl's over, and then the rest of the 6 months belongs to you? Why not do that?
I love it. Yeah, I know. Both Waddle and I are fans. Stephen A., keep up the great work. Always love connecting. Stay safe and healthy, okay?
Thanks, Stephen A.
Thank you, guys. You too. You're same to you and your family. Take care.
Thank you, Stephen A. Stephen A. Smith, always like talking to him. If you want to weigh in on the Bulls situation, 312-332-3776. P.J. Carlissimo will join us at 4 o'clock. He was AK's college coach at Seton Hall. And we'll see if he believes that Adrian Griffin, another one of his players back then, could be the Bulls' next head coach. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Good stuff from Stephen A. talking a lot about the Bulls' moves. I mean, this has been many years in the making when there would be a changing of the guard. It doesn't happen often with the Bulls. Think about it. Oof. Jerry Krause was the decision maker since the mid-'80s with the Bulls. He went through like the early 2000s. Pax takes over in 03 and has been there all the way to 2020. So we've gone from the mid-'80s to 2020, 35 years basically, with having two figureheads of the Bulls organization.
Yeah, it is. It's, you talk about stability in some ways, at least for a job security. But it'll be interested. I'll be very interested to see what they end up doing with regard to the coaching situation and who they may possibly hire.
Yeah.
And again, I get what Wendy was talking about. And Michael Reinsdorf may have let it be known that he does like Jim Boylan, but I would be shocked. Not a lot shocks me in the world of sports. I would be shocked if they didn't make a coaching change for next year.
Me too. And then I'll get into the contest here because I want to get some entries here going on the contest because we've got good prizes. But in typical Freddie Huebner form, and we love Fred. If Fred wasn't like this, I would like him less, actually. I like that he's like this. That's what makes him so good. Did you see his comment about the poll question, the Toyota Twitter poll? Did the Bulls get it right?
Let me see.
And 86% are voting yes, 14% are voting no.
How can anyone answer this question? I mean, listen, that's the essence of the Twitter poll. Everything has
nuance. I wish he was commenting on the pronunciation poll, though.
I know, right? Hey, look, I mean, that's all of sports. Sports is always a prediction game.
Right.
We predict, who the hell knows if the White Sox are going to be good this year? But I think they could win 87 games. Someone thinks they can win 80 games.
You could have asked the same question about the trade for Nick Foles. Did the Bears get it right acquiring Foles?
Right.
I mean, you don't know yet.
That's all we're doing, is we're two guys in a bar having a discussion. Hey, after all this.
6 feet apart.
At least. After all this stuff about whether or not they should change and when they should change, they finally changed. Did they get it right? That's it. Is this the right guy? And it's all it is speculation. In 3 years from now, we could hate him. In 3 years from now, not only can he be a guy who's not Garin Pax, but he could be awesome. And then he could be like the biggest hero ever.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of people are voting yes, they got it right, because they finally did make the change.
Well, and I think that there's true belief that he will have the autonomy that people are hoping that whoever came in and got the job would have. And I think whether you read Joe Cowley or you read KC or you read anyone, you read what Woj has to say, I think there's pretty much a consensus here that, what do you call him? He may K now because you're afraid to pronounce his last name, Karnisovas?
Carney.
Carney. I think
Carnival.
That there is consensus here that he is going to be able to make the decisions that he wants to make. So
there was a caller earlier, I believe he called into Carmen and Yurko, saying that there is a scenario that he could see where, if if AK, whatever number we're going to call him, comes in and keeps Boylan for a year, because you're going to be like, you basically have to strip this down to nothing and then go through, like, if you do go through the full, try to do a full another rebuild, like, you might be wasting a good coach.
They shouldn't have to.
I know you shouldn't have to.
Especially with the talent. We all aren't we all in agreement that the Bulls have underachieved this year?
Yeah, they don't. I mean, look, you don't have to be in full rebuild mode. Now, you, and again, I'm going to give you the names, and you can like them more than others, dislike them, or whatever the case may be. You've got Lauri Markkanen. You've got Wendell Carter Jr. You've got Zach LaVine. You got Coby White. You got Otto Porter Jr. Mm. I mean, well, okay. I'm just saying, though, right, that's not a rebuild roster.
Well, and then the one positive note about the Otto Porter thing, I heard Windhorst say this today on Cap. He said this free agency is going to stink because everyone's going to opt in because of all this that has been going on with the pandemic, sure, that there's not going to be much of a market. The Bulls don't have room because of the Otto Porter deal. They will have room for a year where free agency could return to normal. So,
yeah, maybe. And I think you've got a group here. So, like, I agree with you. I don't think that you're wasting a teardown or a coach on another teardown. I really don't. I'm not telling you they're going to be the beast
in
the East.
Guys, yeah. I want two guys and a total clean break to grow together. I want his coach with the new guy and them to grow together on the job.
Yep.
And if it works, awesome. If it doesn't, he may get a second hire depending on how he's doing personnel-wise. There's always the thing about going from point A to point B and everything like that. But, you know, when Phil Emery had to inherit Lovie Smith, we know how that went. You know, the next year he was hiring Mark Trestman. He got that wrong. But it never works where a guy is like, it's an arranged marriage. The arranged marriage very rarely works.
Yep.
And to me, all you're doing is wasting a year. So
totally
I would not keep them. The Waddle and Sylvie Talent Contest is underway. Now, submissions are open right now. We won't start talking about or playing the entries until April 13th. That's still a couple days away here. But we are asking you to tweet us or Instagram to us a talent that you may have that you can capture on video, whether it's kids in the yard, whether it's you at home, whether it's something fun that you guys are doing.
What are the kids in the yard doing?
Could be sports stuff. It could be gymnastics. It could be, I don't
know
what else.
Running some soccer drills.
Could be cornhole. Soccer drills, like Miller said.
You spend all your free time training to get better. That's the best way to handle it.
It could be a long jumper, a triple jumper. I don't know. There are a lot of things you can do outside.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Hey, send me your best triple jump children out there that can triple jump as good as anybody.
Do your best Mike Powell impression.
How about a performance with, like, father, son, and children? What about that?
How about a barbershop quartet with, like, a father and his three sons?
Yes, or mom.
Maybe you have a very musical family, and, like, you each play an instrument or something.
Yes. Devon Traps.
Maybe you're forming a family band while you're quarantined.
Ooh, that's always good. Enjoy a good ventriloquist.
There you go. Do we have any ventriloquists out there?
Now you're starting to heat up right now. How about a stand-up comedy routine?
Yes. Yes.
Act out a scene.
But be funny.
How about you do imitations? You do impersonations.
Well, what, like you just said, act out a scene. Remember that kid who got all that video play who knew the Herb Brooks speech from Miracle? Do you remember that? It was on YouTube. It was a kid who acted out the exact speech that Herb Brooks and Miracle gave.
I don't remember it, but if somebody
it's brilliant. You, Abdallah Mallard, do you guys remember this?
I kind of remember it.
It's like this little kid
who
dresses up like an adult, and he gives the Herb Brooks speech like it was in the movie.
You know what's funny is you bring that up, Sylvie. My nephew actually just did that. Like, one of the first couple days of being in quarantine, my best friend had his son memorize that speech and do the same thing.
There you go. Google that right now. Maybe you could bring that back, and we could play that during Waddle's World. Sometime.
Like, maybe you have a brunette kid, and you could put a little mustache on him, and then maybe you have a blonde kid, and you could put a mullet on him, and one could be Ditka, and he could be cutting Waddle.
There you go. That's what we're looking
that
for.
That would
now
be great.
Now you're on to something, yes.
Okay, that's good.
That would be awesome.
Like, we've got all this time on our hand. Win a talent contest. It's the Waddle and Sylvie talent contest.
You could be the younger version of Abdallah and Black, actually, as college roommates, and you could be fighting over something. And you could have
you could try to out snark each other.
Yes, and you'd have like the hairstyle of both. I mean, back in the day, if I saw this correctly, Chris had tips, right? Didn't he have like the
that was in high
tips?
School? Yeah. Chris had the sun in, and I had the stoner
the fro. There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. How about this? The anniversary of the Lee Ilya speech is coming up. I believe it's like April 20 something. How about you get a child to memorize a Lee Ilya speech and deliver that on video?
That's good. I like that.
That would win. Yeah. Or anybody for that matter, but even a child would
puppets.
Be good. Huh?
Using your children as puppets.
85%
and teaching them how to swear.
Work for a living.
Teach them how to swear.
15% come down here. How great is that? So send us your videos. Here's how you enter. On Instagram, on Twitter, hashtag it. W&S talent. It's a little complicated on the hashtag, but that's how it was written in the rules. Hashtag W&S talent for Waddle and Sylvie talent. Send us your videos. We're giving away a $150 gift card to RPM Italian, a $50 gift card to Hooters, and an autographed Charles Barkley basketball. The winner takes all.
I like that prize package right there.
So that's good stuff right there. Again, hashtag it W&S talent.
You have until Friday, April 17th to send us your entries.
And we'll select the winner on April 24th.
I just saw the cast of Full House, speaking of the game that we played, or we weren't speaking of it, but we were talking about the game earlier that Sylvie lost. One of the questions was about Aunt Becky. The Full House cast recreated the intro, but using social distancing. So they're each in their houses doing something, sanitizing something, whatever. Do something like that. Recreate something.
There you go.
Be creative. You guys bring the creativity for the contest that we do over the holidays for the songs, for the parody songs. This is easier, I think, because this is video. We're all at home as it is. You don't have to write out all the lyrics. Get creative. Send us the videos. Waddle's World is coming up next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him. And he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
That is correct, John. Waddle's World is brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. Hey, I have a question for you guys. I've liked this Final Four topic throughout the course of the last couple of weeks. I think it's been fun and good and cool. Today is supposed to be stadiums or arenas, right?
Yes, your favorites.
Can it just be a broader term, and could it be venues? I don't want to give away what I'm thinking.
A Masters.
Yes, I say yes.
Okay.
You want to put the Masters number one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just said I don't want to give away what I'm thinking.
If you open it up to venues, it's going to get weird.
Concert boys.
Because I'm
going to
go to, yeah, because concert.
Sports venues.
Yeah, I like that.
Not for concerts. Sports, okay? Can we do that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Putting baby in a corner over here is what you're doing.
Yeah, you sit down in the corner, baby, and don't poop your shorts.
By the way, Vince,
when are we going to do this?
I think in the 5 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Vince Napoleon said to me, he's mad at me. He says, hey, no making fun of triple or long jumpers. It's an amazing skill.
Well,
try it as a track coach? If you get videos of triple jumpers, I'd like to recruit them. I tweeted back. I wasn't making fun of it. I was saying things you can do in the backyard.
Yeah, I was the one that actually made light of it. And not because it's not a great skill, but I just don't think. This is just me, and I'm one vote. I don't think if you show us a triple jump, my guess is it's not going to be a finalist. You could send it in. That's
fantastic. What if he's good at it, or she?
I stand by my statement. Anybody willing to say that they are committed to voting for the best triple jump video?
I'm going to pass.
Oh, yeah, that's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you it's not
me.
Like, if
I
you
appreciate
can,
a good
if
triple
you,
jump.
If you can type really fast, I think that is awesome. But, you know, if you send us a video of typing. Yeah,
you show me a good pole vault, maybe that's, you know,
said
more
pole
impressive.
Vault, right? I'm with you there.
You
or
know, that's more fun to watch.
Yeah.
But we don't want, like, stock footage of their, like, pole vault from, like, 2 years ago, right? We want it now. Don't we want stuff now?
Yeah, look, if you can, you set up a couple of ramps and you get on your BMX bike and you, like, jump a fountain or something, a small fountain, or you make a fountain.
Ooh,
how about
like
that?
Evel Knievel.
Like, you build something and then you put a hose in it and then you turn the water on and you shoot the water up like it's a fountain and you get a ramp to go up one side, a ramp coming down the other side, and you do, like, a fountain jump with your BMX bike, you make it my, you may get my vote. I'm
Let's
just
get
saying.
The videos to us.
Yeah.
How about walking across a volcano with a harness? Would that?
I know. Well, how about this? I was just thinking that. What if you put like a little wire in your backyard and a little fire pit, and then you walked over that? That would get it done.
Over top of it?
Yeah.
Or through it?
No, not through it. I mean,
okay. Look, well, there are people that firewalk, my friend.
Yes. That. Well, that's not what I was talking about, but I would happily accept that.
I don't want to see anyone firewalk.
Why?
Again, because I don't want anyone getting hurt.
But that's a talent. I mean, what if they're good at it? I'm not telling you.
That's not a talent. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
No, if someone has firewalked before, wouldn't that win the talent show?
Abdallah, I know you're not a lawyer, but you've probably spoken to the and Meller's married to a lawyer, and I'm sure Abdallah, you've talked to the station lawyer. What's where we stand on firewalking?
Don't do anything stupid. I think is our blanket statement. Is don't
basically
do,
when
you don't do anything that's going to get you hurt.
When you enter the contest with a video, you are signing away your our liability to anything that you're going ahead and trying to attempt to do. So make sure you do it smart.
That's okay. Good.
Julian Edelman will not be prosecuted for the car vandalism case that we all read about back in January. If you remember, he was arrested in Beverly Hills in January 11th after allegedly jumped on the hood of a vehicle causing damage. The owner of the vehicle told the district attorney's office that he has been fully compensated for repair costs to the vehicle. So Julian Edelman did the right thing. He said, "Are you sorry?" And then he paid for the car to be fixed.
Good. That's awesome.
Yeah, let's not clog up the court system with that.
Yeah,
right?
Julian Edelman was just getting his drink on one night, got a little destructive. He said he's sorry, and he paid up.
Right. Had he not apologized and not paid up, then I can understand why you would go to court. But I think what do they say? All's well that ends well?
It sounds like it ended well.
Yeah, Bucks GM Jason Light was asked whether he believes Jameis Winston, the number one overall pick back in 2015, was a hit or a miss. Do you know what he said?
He said it was in the middle.
Said he has a lot of respect for Winston. He did some spectacular things for us. I would never say that personally, and I think I speak on behalf of the organization that he's a bust. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him.
He said he would never say that he's a bust?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that. You can't badmouth a player like that.
I don't think he's been a... Has he? I mean, I don't... He hasn't been as good as they had hoped, but I would not say that he's been a bust.
Well, Waddle,
would you say
you didn't want to touch him? I mean,
I don't want to touch him.
So, a guy who is drafted number one overall, when he hits free agency and you have a quarterback vacancy and you don't want to touch him, isn't that the definition of a bust?
Maybe thinking about this, I should have to think about it longer when I say that. He threw for 5,100 yards and he threw
stats are kind of hollow when you throw as many interceptions as he did.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to dig up his stats now. He only had one season where he's had fewer than 14 picks. Yeah, I'd say at being drafted number one overall after 5 years, I would say that you did not get your money's worth. I would say that just based on the definition, he was a bust. Now, I've seen worse. I guess
of
is
course,
what I was
of
thinking.
Of course, right.
I mean, he's got a career 121 touchdown passes. Like he's had seasons of 22 touchdown passes, 28 touchdown passes, and 33 touchdown passes. But I would think based on the pure definition of what a bust is, yes? Are we unanimous?
I would think you have to.
Yeah.
At least up until now, I'm not saying that he can't turn it around. No one's hired him. Yeah, no one signed him.
He was a bust for the Bucs franchise. I think that's you draft a quarterback number one overall and you can't even get a second contract. That's a bust.
Yeah. Tiger Woods says he's feeling better and says he would have been healthy for the Masters, which was supposed to start today.
Yeah.
When I saw Wright Thompson, they showed something he wrote and narrated today on Get Up. I almost teared up.
I know.
I really did. I almost teared up.
Did you see I was wearing my Masters hat today?
I did see that.
In the intro video.
David Flom sent all of us. That was good. And I saw you show off the gel packs that you stole from Michael Jordan's locker.
Yes, the gel pack during the sick game that he slurped.
Yeah.
There were many of them in the locker, and I took one of them as a sample.
LeBron James, I think we have audio of this, says it's tough to have closure for him personally if the season does not resume. Am I right, Meller, that we have sound of LeBron
we
today?
We do indeed, Waddle. Here you go.
I don't know if I will be able to have any closure. I can have some satisfaction on what our team has been able to do this year, having a first-year coach, first-year system, bringing on so many new pieces to our team this year, doing the things that, honestly, like I told you guys all year, I honestly didn't think that we would be able to come together as fast as we did, just having the whole new system, having so many new players, having so many new pieces, you know, bringing in Anthony, he spent 7 years in New Orleans, so he was coming into a new system, playing along with myself, and how we would be able to come together. I thought it would take us a lot longer than it did, but I was wrong. I will have some satisfaction, like I said, on just being with my brothers, thinking about some of the road trips that we had, thinking about some of the games that we lost, some of the games that we won, some of the games that we overcame, and then that everything that we've been going through this season, just the ups and downs, not only on the floor, but off the floor, everything that we've had to endure as the Laker faithful and us as players and coaching staff and organization has been so much so. Closure, no. But to be proud of what we've been able to accomplish to this point, I'll be able to look back and be like, okay, you did something special in that small period of time.
Speaking of the NBA, the league says players will receive their full checks when the next payday for most of them arrives on April 15th, even though no games will have been played for more than a month at that point.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so they will be paid.
Did you see some Rams players were having trouble getting paid?
Yes, that was another story. Clay Matthews Jr. and I believe Todd Gurley were both struggling to get their money. Former Rams players Todd Gurley and Clay Matthews have tweeted that the team is behind on delivering their paychecks. Who was it that wrote, Clay Matthews, you and me both, TG, better get some interest with that too, when he was referencing what Gurley wrote in a tweet. At the Rams NFL past due, send me money ASAP.
They're too busy coming up with bad logos.
But the Rams believe they're fine in terms of what the salary cap they believe they're liable for
in full compliance with the language in the players' contracts, according to ESPN. The Rams released Gurley less than 2 years after he signed him to a 4-year, $60 million deal, $45 million in guarantees. But I guess they'll have. However the case, is going to play out, I think, Meller, they're not having to pay them until...
July 2nd or something like that?
Correct.
Is that what it is?
And I don't think Gurley has signed his contract yet with the Falcons, has he?
Not sure about that.
Well, either way, I mean, they think that there's some money owed, and I'm sure that that will get resolved.
I'm sure they'll get all that they're owed. That's the way the NFLPA will not allow them not to be paid what they actually deserve.
That is correct. I have a soccer story. I have pornography-filled Easter eggs, which is not a good story.
Ooh, wow.
And I have a couple more sports-a-roo stories when we get back.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Before I let Jeff Meller read a statement coming from the governor, where's Belarus, Jeff? Do you know? Are you geographically challenged? I know you're a soccer fan. Do you follow Belarus soccer, and do you bet on the Belarus league?
I do not, Waddle. Okay, I definitely have.
They're playing. You know that?
Oh, yes. I'm well aware. I did know that, yes. They're one of the few sporting events.
Oh, can you gamble on them?
I'm sure.
You can bet on them, and I've been dabbling in the Nicaraguan soccer.
Oh, really? Is Nicaragua playing too?
Yeah.
What about the ping pong stuff? Aren't people betting on ping pong?
Well, I mean, there's only, like, my site only offers certain things. Like, if you, like, if you have Bovada's offering weird stuff, and my site is now offering E-League eSports. So, you know, you can bet on the simulation between the Bears and the Packers, and, like, you can bet on that if you want to. And it's not even people playing. It's just a simulation.
And Belarus is located right between Poland, Moscow, and Lithuania.
Okay, so great. So we can ask AK when he joins us about the Belarus Dynamos. I guess there's a team, they're using mannequins to replace fans in the stands.
What?
Yeah.
This is like riding in the carpool lane with mannequin in the passenger seat.
Do they have 20,000 mannequins in the stands? That would almost be...
No, they have to keep them 6 feet apart.
Filling their stands with mannequins sporting cutout portraits of fans to boost match day atmosphere while supporters stay home due to the coronavirus pandemic.
Would that really help? And what are they doing, piping in noise?
I don't know, but Belarus is the only professional league in Europe still playing.
If you guys want to, there's a game tonight between the Giants and the Bears. The Bears are a 4-point favorite with Foles, not Trubisky. They're going with Foles.
And where is it?
Madden
is
simulation.
Oh, really? Where can I see that?
I don't. I assume on Twitch somewhere.
Okay. Speaking of that, are you Twitching in there now, or is the Twitch showing you two guys doing what you do?
No, the Twitch is not showing us right now. The Twitch is dark.
Twitch is dark?
Twitch is dark.
Okay, Meller, you were telling...
stuff to announce in a little bit, too. I mean, I don't know what day, but the Twitch stuff is going to be taken up a notch soon.
See,
on
you're
the
home. You know, see,
show.
Sylvie, now you're home, and you're still eating during Waddle's World. Like, see, I can't even see you, and I can hear you eating. I can hear you eating.
It's time. Well, look, if it's time to eat, it's time to eat, whether I'm home or in the studio.
Yeah, I got no problem.
Do you
with
still
that.
Bring you the bag of, like, loose meat?
Brings it downstairs
in the basement.
Yeah, he's got the whatever it is. It's the Whole Foods plastic bag. He puts the bag of turkey in.
I put some turkey in.
And the avocado, you just keep it downstairs just to keep the routine.
They say you're
supposed to. You're supposed to keep your routine, right?
Right. Yes. I'm eating cashews right now. By the way.
Okay.
Okay, so Meller, you've got an announcement from the governor's office. He says everything's dark until 2025.
It was a quote from Governor Pritzker's presser this afternoon, and here it is. I think everybody needs to think seriously about canceling any large summer events. I do not see how we are going to have large gatherings of people again until we have a vaccine, which is months and months away.
Right, that's like at least a year away. Aren't they hoping for fall of 21?
Yeah, 12 months seems to be like the most kind of ambitious timeline for vaccines.
I hope there are drugs, Waddle, that treat
Your pharmacist?
Huh?
Am I your pharmacist over here?
Yeah, well, I think we see eye to eye on this. I think, this ain't my specialty, but just the stuff that I read, I hope there are drugs that treat the illness where it's not so dangerous in the future, where we can get back to semi-normal. Now,
I'm going to hold out the same hope as you, my friend, that the private sector and the pharmaceutical industry will find a way to get us to a point of
a therapeutic drugs.
Yes, some sense of normalcy.
With more testing, with testing readily available, and a therapeutic drug that if you should happen to get it, you could prevent going to the hospital, you can prevent all that stuff, that maybe we can. And I don't know if that will mean that 80,000 people can gather. Maybe that is true for a vaccine, but
maybe I will be able to get in the car with my family and drive to South Carolina and spend July 4th week, which has been a tradition in the Waddle family now for about 20 years. Maybe if we sit far enough apart, maybe, hopefully.
Well, you guys are together anyway. I mean, you guys don't have to social distance with each other.
That is correct. So
it just means probably no festivals of any kind.
Or sporting events. He's saying that there will not be games at Soldier Field with fans.
Well, with fans.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean no sports. It just says no fans.
No fans. No fans cheering at Soldier Field all year. Well, That's what he's telling you.
I mean, did you really want to hear the boos on TV?
Wow. You know what? You bite your tongue.
Wow.
You bite your tongue.
What about third down noise?
Oh, man. What is Nagy going to do without third down noise?
Boy.
He's got nothing.
The siren goes on, but there's nobody in the stands.
It did bum me out, because I think it was yesterday Alex asked me, out of nowhere, he's like, hey, do you think we're going to be able to go to the Bears game this year? And I was like, buddy, I don't know. I think that's probably a long shot. And he got all depressed. And
then he said, Dad, why are you wearing a hazmat suit at dinner?
And then he said, Dad, how many more ladder drills do I have to do? I said, you got to do 6 more, Alex.
Again. Pornography-filled Easter eggs stuffed into a Florida town's mailboxes? That is wrong.
Okay, so like you open the Easter egg, and instead of like a piece of candy or a little trinket, there's some porn?
Easter took an X-rated turn for residents of Flagler County, Florida, who opened their mailboxes last week to find that an unknown jokester had left eggs filled with pornographic pictures. That is just so wrong.
It's kind Meller. Of a funny practical joke.
If
there's not kids around,
that's true.
And you're like playing a joke on another family.
Yeah, but you probably can't be sure about the kids, so you should probably.
Sex toy sales have tripled during New Zealand's coronavirus lockdown.
Meller, has that been the case here?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess it all depends on what your normal consumption or purchasing of said sex toys is.
Jeffrey, phone call on line one.
How dare you talk about sex toys?
Dubai husband with two wives asks for a permit to move between their houses. A senior Dubai police official was on local radio answering queries from the public when he received a bizarre question from a man asking whether he needed a permit to move between the houses of his two wives during the 24-hour sterilization program in Dubai.
In my country, we can have 4 wives. 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's hard. But you can do. My uncle actually had 2 wives. I'm not kidding.
You were telling me this story.
I am not kidding.
Really?
My uncle had 2 wives when he lived over in Saudi Arabia. They lived in this, or not Saudi Arabia, in Egypt. And he lived.
Does that mean you have 2 aunts?
I did. And a bunch of cousins.
One uncle and 2 aunts.
One uncle, 2 aunts, a bunch of cousins.
I wonder which aunt's going to be coming to our party. Did that ever go through the?
No. So what would happen is we'd go over to Egypt and see them. They would all come to one apartment because they lived in an apartment building but separate floors, of course. Depending on which one was mad at him. And so he would go, you know, between the floors. Like he basically said, like, if I'm with this one for a week, and then I'll go upstairs for a week, and then I'll come downstairs for a week. And then when he moved here, he only moved 1 family over and then got a divorce from the other aunt. She didn't want to come over here.
That's all so right. Great. Tomorrow we're going to go through the entire list of your family.
I'm just saying, you guys, hey, you brought up a story. I'm letting you know.
By the way, it's snowing up here right now.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm going to leave you with this tease also before we take a break. Scientists, I'll elaborate on this story tomorrow. Scientists are working on a butt recognition toilet. A smart toilet. That's all I can tell you.
Why does a toilet need to know? It just opens up for...
That's why you need to turn into the show tomorrow. Same time, same butt channel.
All right, so the Bulls' new basketball king is here. We'll find out how you really pronounce his name, and we'll talk to his former college coach, who obviously is a big-time announcer of the NBA. PJ Carlissimo joins us in 2 minutes.